that, so we also relicensed. And we do detailed specifications, papers, generators, data sets, and all sorts of frameworks to make our benchmarks be easy to implement. The benchmarks are easy to implement, but they are not easy to get audited. We have TPC-grade benchmark audits, which means that we have certified auditors. And if you're a vendor, you have to talk to an auditor. It's usually something like 30 to 50,000 euros. It's a multi-week process. The auditor will talk to the vendor. They will compile the specification sheets. And then they will, of course, rerun the benchmark and write a full disclosure report out of it. This is kind of a painful process, but vendors go through it because this is kind of the gold standard in the graph database space. And we have been doing audits for 5 years, published 50 results, and never had to retract any of the results. The most issues I could find was a few typos in old full disclosure reports. And as you can see, we have grown quite well in the last 5 years. So we have more and more members, lots of user community meetings, benchmarks, results, and so on. So what are the challenges in the graph database space? Well, there is a big decline. I don't think that needs to be denied. The hype cycle has moved over to AI technologies, and I think there is a huge amount of confusion. I'm trying to help the confusion here a bit by setting these categories. But when vendors go out saying, we are a graph database, you don't need joins, and we will replace all relational systems, I don't think that does anything anyone any good. I don't think anyone is seriously saying anymore that graph databases will replace relational systems. There are many niche use cases, and there are vendors who are basically tied to one or two of their customers. They over-optimize for that, and that ends up in this very fragmented space with dozens of query languages. You can see the effect of that. So between 2013 and 2022, there was a 13-fold increase in the DB Engine's ranking for graph databases. But since the summer of 2022, it has been a decline. So we are now back to basically two-thirds of the peak, and the decline doesn't look very good. If you have heard about GraphRag, the vendors have heard about this. This is the life belt that they are trying to cling on to. This is something that the vendors think is going to help them, and indeed, it produces a lot of attention, and it's a nice graph use case. Okay, to sum up, graph databases have syntax sugar and optimizations for joins. If you have 10 joins in your query and for some reason it doesn't work well in a relational system, you should try a graph database, but then based on the problem, you may want the MongoDB, the Postgres, or the Teradata of your database. And licensing is difficult. Check the licenses before using the software and check the performance results. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thanks. Hello. Thank you. Hey. Yes, I'm going to hand over to Daniel, and then I'll be with you.
If you can do all questions outside or somewhere different, that's okay.
All right.
No, not here, outside.
Yeah. I do want to watch the next talk, though, because Daniel was my student, so...
Okay.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Would you
speak to a data
hub
if you graph database?
I don't think so. It doesn't think about the...
Can we take all the questions outside, please? I need to get the next speaker up and running. Now, do you want to use the... Yeah, okay. So you've got a Mac, have you? So we've got...
HDMI here.
Okay. Normally what we found is the HDMI didn't work, but this one does. So okay. Do you want to try that?
Yeah, sure.
All right, see if that...
How's it going? Just want to say hi.
Yeah, if we can move... Yeah, get stickers and move outside for questions, please. That'd be great. Here's your... Sorry. No, I need to take this thing off. It's horrible.
Which one are they?
Shall I snap it on here?
Yes, please.
Yeah, because it might be easier my next. Hold that.
I can hold
that. So, right, let's see if that works. Okay, that should be a bit close. Sorry, it's really hard, actually.
Yeah.
You know what? I've just broken, I think.
I don't quite know what's happened here. I have no idea what this is going. Okay, not sure what's going on. Hang on. I think what it is it's that goes down like this. Mm-hmm. And then okay, that's it.
And then I just flip this.
Exactly. So then that goes in like that. Like that. And then I can right. Let's try that again.
Okay. It should be on correctly. So unfortunately the audio is not great in this room. So
I've done a bad job here. I think I've messed something up here. Okay, let's try again. Let's try putting it in here. Okay, that should hopefully be okay.
So just project as loud as you can.
Yeah, I'll try.
Actually, you know what? I think it's not going to work.
Let's try.
I'll fix this one. So yes, yeah, so you were on the previous talk, so you know what the situation is with the audio. Really sorry about that, but
yeah, I have some overlapping, not overlapping slides, but at least the topic is overlapping with Gabor a bit. But I hope it should be good.
No, you know it was interesting to see that the interest in Graph actually is really growing. You know, I'm not sure how much of that is because of Graph Rag and, you know, the kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something there. I don't know. I just do not know how this works. I think I have one there. So. Let's try it one more time.
Yeah.
See. Apologies. Okay, hopefully that'll be okay. Oh, yeah, have you put it in your pocket maybe?
Yep. I'll add a timer.
Okay, next session's gonna start in 5 minutes.
What is your uniform?
What do you mean? This is my uniform. Silly goose. This is my uniform.
You want some water?
Oh, I have. Thank you.
You have?
I have.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. It was great for us. Like, that you could do the replacement.
Yeah. I have some overlapping slides with Gabor, or like overlapping topics, so I hope it's good. But
No, for sure. At the beginning, we were a bit hesitant because, you know, with the DACCON, we didn't want to repeat like lot of content. So when we saw, it's like they were like really good talks. Actually, there were more talks like from DACCON in the proposals, but we were like, I don't know if people are attending both events because it's not like advertised for them fringe event, I would find because different cities. So, but for them fringe, like
it was
a pity because some of them were like pretty cool. Actually, very interesting. But like, I don't know, man. I was very hydrated.
I got it.
Thank you for making this. We are super happy
to
have you here.
Happy to. I think it's really nice to share the...
Yeah, it is. But the, doing this, like, you know, after Christmas, a bit like last minute.
Yeah.
You know, thank you so much for that.
Happy to.
Delighted to have Daniel Tenbold.
Tenbolder.
Sorry. I'm getting a good exercise in pronouncing different names today. Who is going to be talking about empowering data analytics, high performance graph queries in DuckDB with DuckEGQ. So who doesn't need more ducks in their life, right? I know they're awesome creatures. So starting, I'm going to hand it over to you. Starting in 1 minute, so please, again, move in because we have people who are coming and we don't want them to disrupt yourself. So if you can squish in and leave people some faces who join later, that'd be awesome. So thank you very much and over to you.
Thank you very much. All right, can everybody hear me if I speak like this? Should be good? All right. Well, my name is Daniel Tenbolder. I'm a PhD student at the CWI Database Architectures Group. And today I'll talk to you about using DuckDB and DuckPGQ to do your graph analytics. Okay, so first, my topic is very similar to the one that Gabor described in the previous talk with graph data management. So there is some overlap, I'll admit. But with graph data management, we often refer to highly connected data. So many-to-many relationships are very common. And very often, tables already represent graphs. So in this case, we have special vertex tables and special edge tables. And then people want to do graph exploration over this. And what that means is that there's pattern matching, where we want to find a subgraph. We want to do path finding, where we want to find the shortest or cheapest path between any two sets of nodes. But importantly, people still want their filters and their aggregations. So these three building blocks are important. So storing your graph in SQL, on the right here we see a property graph, and the property graph data model extends the normal graph with labels. So we have a person label, follows, lives in, and city. And every node and edge can have properties in the form of key value pairs. So storing this in a relational system is really not the issue. For every label, we create a different table, and the properties are the columns within these tables. All right. Nothing special going on here. But now we're tasked with the following prompt of counting the number of people Bob indirectly follows who live in the city Utrecht. And Gabor gave it away a bit in the last slide, but this is what you would have to write in the SQL of today, SQL 99.9, where the recursive operator was introduced. And you have to recursively explore your paths and keep track of them yourself using an array. So from a user perspective, this is not nice to write, not nice to read, I would argue, but there may be some of you out there who like to read this. And from a system perspective, importantly, it's really difficult to optimize these styles of queries. So what did people do? They moved towards graph database systems, which had an arguably nicer query language. So the most popular out there is Neo4j, that introduced the visual graph syntax that Cypher has. But you also have Amazon Neptune that supports both Sparkle and Gremlin. You have Genesgraph with Gremlin. You have Oracle Labs PGX, which supports PGQL, TigerGraph with GSQL, or NebulaGraph with NGQL. And Gabor mentioned a couple more that I couldn't list. So the landscape is very scattered. Now, as part of the SQL 2023 standard, yes, there is a standard. You can buy it for 221 Swiss francs if you really want to, but I don't recommend it because it's not really a light read. You can buy it, but yeah. SQL Property Graph Queries was introduced, SQL PGQ, and this enables you to create a property graph layer over your already existing tables. And then you can use the visual graph syntax to do your pattern matching and path finding more easily. So SQL PGQ is read-only style queries. You cannot do updates or deletes with this syntax. And that's part of the GQL, the graph query language. And before someone refers me to this XKCD of, yes, there's 14 competing standards, let's create another one, and now there's 15. Yes, that can be the case. But I would argue that this is part of SQL. So if you don't like it, you don't have to use it. You don't have to switch all your data to a new system. So I think this is more integrated. It's actually being already implemented in a couple of relational systems. Oracle is really going in on this. DuckDB with DuckPGQ. There's Google that supports it in Spanner. And actually, they added it to the Google SQL, so also other systems such as BigQuery could support it in the future. And I know that Postgres has ongoing work with Peter Eisentrout, so it is being implemented. Now, how would you create a property graph in SQL PGQ? This is the first step you do. We create a property graph called Social Network, and here we explicitly define what are our vertex tables, in this case person and city, and what are the edge tables. So for the edge table follows, we go from a source person to a destination person, and here we specify the keys that we're going to use to join on. Joins are very important in our use case in the analytical space. And if you defined your primary key foreign key relationship already when you created the table, you don't necessarily need to repeat them here, because I can deduce them in some cases. Now we got back to the same query, count the number of people Bob indirectly follows living in the city of Utrecht. So maybe you remember that 3 times 6 plus 3 times 8 you can also represent as 3 times 6 plus 8. And this way you have one less repeated value in this case. So we need to use less memory, and operating on this compressed value is actually very efficient because we only have one value instead of many duplicates. So DuckDB uses mostly hash joins, which first builds a hash table on the destination key of the follows relationship in this case, and then it probes it with the source key of the intermediate result. So how the implementation of the join is in DuckDB, it was slightly changed with this master project. Which is actually very impressive because the join operator is not easy to work on. It's a core component of DuckDB. So before, when you wanted to insert a value that had a collision, in this case K2 will have a collision with K1, then DuckDB would still insert it into this chain. So you would kind of get collisions, well, you would get non-duplicate values or duplicate non-duplicate values in this chain. But now, with this new change, we actually insert it into the next slot. So you get unique keys per chain. And this is nice because, this is nice because now we have pure chains and we don't need to go over all the keys in this chain to check if there's a matching key. We know that if the first key doesn't match, we know that all other keys in that chain don't match. And then there's a little optimization, which is the salt, which is the upper 16 or so bits, because we don't actually need them for the pointer. that can be used to do a fast filter on these keys. So we benchmark this on TPCH, which is the industry standard for analytical systems. And we actually saw a big improvement on especially high scale factors, where there's longer chains, so you don't need to traverse these long chains. And the joins, the filtering on the joins with the salt optimization. And this was actually merged as part of DuckDB 1.1.0. And that improved the join performance quite nicely. But how does this relate to factorization? Well, these pure chains, you can actually see them as a factorized result. Because now, Eve, the pointer in the hash table, we can store that. And then for every value of Eve, we can point to this pointer. And then we don't need to repeat the actual values that are in the chain. So this removes any redundancy from the probe side, and it removes redundancy from the build side. And this is actually something we learned from the 3D hash join paper, which did something very similar, but not quite like this. But this gave us the idea for this factorization. And additionally, if you have an aggregation on the same key, arguably maybe a bit specific, but if you have an aggregation on the same key, then you can actually use this factorization to do the aggregation very efficiently. So we have an additional data structure where we can store the result of the aggregation for every key in the chain. So for instance, if we want to get the length of the chain, in this case, we only have to compute it for the first time we come across this pointer, which is the length is 2. And then the next time we come across this pointer, we already computed the value. So we don't need to traverse the chain again. We only have to look up the value. And this gives a really nice performance improvement. So the baseline or the factorization with the pure chains already gave a bit of a performance improvement, about 1.25x. But with the caching, it's actually 17 times faster. And this is maybe a very specific case, but it does show a very nice optimization. So there's more work that we did that is published as part of the CIDR 2025 conference. That was work with Paul and me and Peter Bonks. So we also looked at how you can adaptively use this factorization technique, because you don't always want to trigger this factorization, because it does give a lot of overhead. But there's more details in the paper. Okay, I see I'm quite quick with the presentation, but if you want to try out DuckPGQ, it's really easy to get started. Install DuckPGQ from community, load DuckPGQ, and you're good to go. There's a QR code that leads to the website that has more examples of SQL PGQ queries and more documentation. And we're also on GitHub. I would appreciate a star. And yeah, to conclude, I introduced DuckPGQ, which enables SQL PGQ queries within DuckDB. We outperform Neo4j and CusoDB for analytical pattern matching. And I showed how you efficiently handling of pathfinding and ongoing research work. Thank you very much.